Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Amen. You may notice that I am alone this morning. And it's not because I just got fed up at always starting service a minute or two late, so I just came down myself. No. Pastor is working his way toward Oklahoma. I just heard he had some flight issues, so I don't know if he's there yet or not. He is preaching in Cushing, Oklahoma, the home church of Pastor Mark Duer, a former member of this congregation. He'll be preaching there for the dedication of education wing. And Vicar is much closer. Actually, he was in his office. I told him I was going to recruit him to work, but I think he sneaked out again. Is down in Hickman today. So I'm all by my lonesome today, bringing you God's word on this day, this Lincoln Marathon Day. Thank you for being brave and finding alternative routes and all that kind of thing. Unless you're coming from the south, then you're just fine. We have no hymns in our bulletin. You might have noticed that. That doesn't mean we're not going to sing any of them. It just means I have to tell you about them. So our opening hymn today is going to be number 490, Jesus Lives the Victory Won, 490. Our sermon hymn, if you want to put a little ribbon there, will be 668. And I think probably what I'm going to have to do is announce the distribution hymns as they come, if I remember. The first one, though, will be number 483. That will be the first distribution hymn, 483. And I will hopefully remember to announce the others as we move along. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank and praise you for all the gifts you so graciously pour out upon us. We beg you, O Lord, that as you hung upon the tree of the cross, the same way that Moses held up the serpent in the desert, so that we would look to you and live forever. We pray, O Lord, that our humble reception of your great gifts this day would be to our eternal benefit. In your holy, your precious name we pray. Amen. Opening hymn number 490, 490.
Thank you.
Divine Service, setting number one, page 151. 151, we stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean.
We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have not done. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us. Renew us and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We turn to the words of the introit. We chant them together, printed on your bulletin insert. Let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For for this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise. Let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. God, the giver of all that is good, by your holy inspiration grant that we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated. The Old Testament lesson for the sixth Sunday of Easter comes from the 21st chapter of the book of Numbers. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take the serpents away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. This is from Paul's first letter to St. Timothy, chapter 2. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. That is good. And it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. We stand for the Alleluia and verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, "In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world. And now I am leaving the world and going to the Father." His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated for our sermon hymn, which is number 668.
Thank you.
God created you. He formed you in the womb of your mother. He knit you together in secret. And then He brought you forth into the light, into this marvelous world that He created for you. He gave you everything that you need. Food, water, shelter. Even the very air you breathe is a gift from Him. He is the one who provided you, your family, to bear you, to raise you up and care for you. Whether they realized it or not, they were His instruments of provision. Every good gift comes from God. But what God gives you so often isn't enough. You want more. You want something different. You are impatient with His provision because it doesn't come in the way that you want it or when you want it. And so you grumble and complain. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Think about it. God has given us every good gift. And yet we say, we loathe this worthless food. You want what is not yours. You aren't satisfied with what God has given you. And so you desire, you covet what others have. Your focus is on the things of this world. Food, clothing, houses, money, status in the eyes of others, rather than on the God who gives them all when and where He pleases. Psalm 78 declares, they tested God in their hearts by demanding the food they craved. They spoke against God, saying, can God spread a table in the wilderness? Why do we speak out against God? Well, the answer is quite simple. We are sinners. And this sin can only have one penalty. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many people of Israel died. Your grumbling and impatience, along with all your other sins, has earned you death. This is a reality that you cannot ignore, for you see it in your very own flesh and bones. Your flesh is corrupted by sin. That is why you get sick. That is why your body wears out. That is why you die. Death is the result of sin. We die only because we are sinful. No person can escape the penalty for sin, whether you believe the scriptures or not. The reality of corruption and death is visible and apparent to all. You can't explain away cancer or heart disease, much less death itself. Sin isn't simply some spiritual malady that only Christians have to deal with. No, it has very real physical consequences. But those very real physical consequences that come to all men, Christian or not, only point to a deeper spiritual problem. St. Paul says, you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Your sin has made you a child of wrath, God's wrath over your sin and rebellion, your selfish desire for the things of this world over the God who gives them, can only lead to separation from God forever in eternal judgment. And when you are faced with this stark reality, the stark reality of your sin and its penalty, you can do one of two things. First, you can try to ignore your sin and its penalty, pretending that you really don't have sin, or that hell doesn't really exist. But you can pretend that hell doesn't exist all that you want to. The reality is you cannot pretend that your body won't wear out. You cannot pretend that you won't die. The path of denial is really delusional and irrational, no matter how many smart and famous people take it. No, the only real option is the other path, to cry out to the one who can do something about it, the one who imposed the penalty in the first place, God Himself. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that He take away the serpents from us." You come to God in humility. You come to God knowing that you have a problem you cannot solve on your own. You come to God in sorrow over your rebellion and in gratitude for the gifts that He gives. You come confessing your sin. "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord." God's holy law and the penalty you can see in your own flesh and bones has exposed your sin, and so you bring it to Him. You come knowing that God doesn't have to give you anything. He doesn't owe you anything. He doesn't even have to listen to you. He owes you only wrath. But still you come, begging for mercy. You call on the God who lovingly created you to save His creation. You call on the God who graciously provides for all your needs, now to provide for your eternal salvation. The penalty of your sin is too hard to bear. If it remains upon you, it will drag you down to hell. And so you pray. You confess. You plead for deliverance, for forgiveness, for salvation. And your plea doesn't come to the Father's heavenly throne alone. But instead, you have an intercessor who is pleading for you and with you before God, begging Him to have mercy upon you. So Moses prayed for the people. As Abraham stood between the wrath of God and his nephew Lot, as Moses stood between the punishment that Israel deserved and God's beloved people, so the second person of the Trinity, the eternally begotten Son of God, intercedes for you before His Father. He pleads for your salvation. He pleads for mercy, for grace, for love. He pleads for you, calling on God to remember His love for you and His love for His Son. And your intercessor, the second person of the Trinity, who pleaded for your salvation, is then summoned to the throne. "Go forth, my son," the father said, "and free my children from their dread of guilt and condemnation. The wrath and stripes are hard to bear, but by your passion they will share the fruit of your salvation." God answers your cries. He will provide deliverance, salvation, forgiveness in the person of His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Our intercessor, our mediator, is called upon to bring salvation Himself. And He does this without hesitating. "Yes, Father, yes, most willingly, I'll bear what You command me. My will conforms to Your decree. I'll do what You have asked me." In love, He stood before the Father's throne for you. In love, He will go forth to bring to you the salvation, the very salvation that He pleaded for. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." Your sin is a sin of and in the body. The desire for the things of this world over the God who gives them. The penalty for your sin is a penalty of the body. The corruption that fills you, that leads to maladies, disease, and finally, death. And so God makes His Son the image of your sin. He gives to Him your human flesh. The Son of God takes on flesh and becomes man. He is the image and likeness of your sin. But more than that, more than Moses' bronze serpent, He becomes sin itself, bearing your own sin in His flesh. He is sin incarnate, the embodiment of sin, not because He has any sin of His own, but because He bears yours. And the image of your sin is thus placed high upon a pole for all to see. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him may have eternal life. The image of your sin is nailed to a cross, exalted in humiliation, exalted in suffering, exalted in order to die. When He is lifted up, He is exposed to ridicule. He is displayed as a condemned criminal. He is shown to the world as a traitor to Rome and to His own people. But the image of your sin is not lifted up simply to receive ridicule. He is lifted up to pay the penalty for sin. He is lifted up to endure what you deserved. He is lifted up for your salvation. He is lifted up so that nothing stands between Him and God's wrath. He is lifted up so that the full brunt of the penalty for your sin falls on Him and not you. He is lifted up so that when you look to Him, you live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look to the bronze serpent and live. You are sinful. You know it, for you have seen its penalty in your own flesh and bones, the frailty of your body, and the death that stalks your steps. You have confessed your sin. You have cried out to God for deliverance, for salvation. And His answer is His Son, made the image and embodiment of your sin, hanging high upon a pole. O wondrous love, what have you done? The Father offers up His Son, desiring our salvation. O love, how strong you are to save. You lay the one into the grave who built the earth's foundation. Your sin has been made man and put to death. Its eternal penalty is removed. Look to Jesus, hanging high upon the tree, exalted upon the bloody throne of the cross, and you will live. You will live even though you die, for there the penalty of your sin has been removed. Look to Jesus when you fall into grumbling, impatience over what Jesus has given to you, for only on the cross can you have forgiveness. Even now, even at this very moment, He stands before the Father's throne, interceding for you and me. He remains your mediator forever. Look to His cross in repentance whenever you sin. Look to Jesus when your body falters and fails, for He will give to you a new body when He comes again to establish the new heavens and the new earth. A new body that will have none of the corruption that comes due to sin. Look to Jesus in the midst of this corrupted and dying world, for He is the only answer to sin and death. Look to Him this day, exalted high upon a pole for all to see. You see, the cross is your most sacred treasure. For there, the image, the embodiment of your sin was exalted for your salvation. St. Paul writes, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus." Jesus was exalted upon the cross so that He would be exalted to the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus was exalted upon the cross so that He would exalt you to the very glories of heaven. There you will dwell forever, receiving every good gift from the God who created you and acted to redeem you. Just as Christ is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. We stand and confess our common Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, one God, light of light, very God of very heart, begotten not made, being the one substance of the Father, by whom all things are made, who for us then, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit.
pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Gracious Father, your Son Jesus Christ, our Savior, has overcome the world in his innocent suffering and death, and in his glorious resurrection from the dead. Let your word of joy and reconciliation not be bound, but have free course and be preached to the joy and edification of your Son's holy people. Lord, in your mercy, merciful God, you cast your bright beams upon the church, illuminating your mercy to all mankind. We thank you, O Lord, for raising up faithful shepherds to feed and to lead your holy flock, especially all those candidates who are given their initial calls into the holy ministry this week. We especially give thanks and praise for former Vicar Christian Preuss, placed in Casper, Wyoming, and for all others who have been placed this week. And we also give thanks for vicars as they go forth to serve their church as part of their studies. And we give thanks for Evan Scammon and his wife Lena, daughter Katie, who will be coming and joining us here at Good Shepherd in the months to come. Grant them safety in travel, and may their time among us be a blessing to us and to them. Lord, in your mercy, Lord, keep this nation under your care. Bless the leaders of our land, that we may be a people at peace among ourselves and a blessing to the other nations of the earth. Grant that we may choose trustworthy leaders, contribute to the wise decisions for general welfare, and serve you faithfully in our generation. Lord, in your mercy, O God, you graciously give to mankind the remedies that bring salvation and the gifts of eternal life. Preserve to your servants the gifts of your power, and grant that not only in their bodies, but also in their souls, they may experience your healing. We especially bring before your throne of grace this day Lynn, Nolan, Marlene, Steve, Celeste, Diane, Janice, Chip, Disney, Max, Joanne, Nevaeh, Rosa, Ed, Nick, Jocelyn, Daryl, Dennis, Jan, Callie, Clee, the mother of Steve Botger, Sonia, Vala, Dwayne, Connie, Brian, Martin, Marianne, Carol, Arlene, Cleo, Deb Prince, recovering from eye surgery, Susanna, and Doris. Lord, in your mercy, O God, the Father in heaven, have mercy upon us. Be gracious to your children who will approach your holy altar this day. Let us partake of your Son's supper as you have prepared it for us, that through eating and drinking the true body and blood of Christ, our faith may be strengthened, our hearts kindled with love, and our consciences comforted as we receive your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated. Once again, welcome in the name of our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ. At this time, we'd ask you to participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. There's a pad at the end of each pew if you would please sign in. If you're a guest or a visitor, thank you for being with us this day. We'd ask that you provide your contact information so we can acknowledge your presence with us in worship this day. At this time also, we receive our gifts and offerings. Thank you. page 159. Give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death. By his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." The same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
depart with peace and with great joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. In 769. Welcome to the table of our Lord.
Thank you.
Now this true body and precious blood of our crucified, risen, ascended, and returning Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Go with peace, with great joy, your sins are forgiven. Amen. We stand for our post-communion canticle, Thank the Lord, page 164. Pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Remain standing for our closing hymn, 488. 488. Couple of announcements for today. First of all, as you heard in the prayers, the vicarage assignments and calls were assigned this past week. First of all, on Wednesday night, Christian Preuss, our former vicar, and of course his wife and children as well, Lisa and the children, were assigned to, I believe it's Trinity Lutheran Church in Casper, Wyoming, Trinity Lutheran Church and School in Casper, Wyoming. So I'm very excited for them and very excited that the Lord has seen fit to give him a place to serve in his kingdom. Also, the day before, on Tuesday night, some of you probably were paying attention. I don't know if Vicar announced it at church on Wednesday. I assume he probably did. We were assigned Vicar-elect Evan Scammon. Evan is from Washington, so we get another Northwestern person. I don't know if we can handle that. But Evan, his wife's name is Lena, and they have a daughter who I believe is 11, I think, and her name is Katie. So keep them in your prayers as we make the transition here in the next few months, especially pray for both our former vicar and our future vicar. And pray for the current one, too, that they keep their focus in the next couple weeks and months. Bible class today, we will be taking a break from Ecclesiastes. I will be doing an hour-long tour, and probably actually a little less than an hour-long tour through the divine service. So we're going to take a, a quick overview and look at how our divine service that you just went through, how our divine service is put together and why certain things are in certain places and that sort of thing. So it'll be kind of a fun thing to do this Sunday morning. So an hour through the divine service, that will be in the fellowship hall. We will not have Sunday school opening since I'm by myself today, so we won't have that today. And I think the rest of the week, Pastor should be back, I think actually tonight, maybe tomorrow. Vicar will be back, I'm back, so we're all good to go back to a normal schedule this week.